2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. Fantastic deal. Once again, that's DFSArmy.com. Promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can follow me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And the right-hand man, the man with the jams that can do the damn thing, Keith Hall. You can find him on Twitter also at BoomersDFSDaddy. Welcome in, Keith.
Hey, how are we doing this morning?
Fabulous, fabulous. Feeling like it's goddamn Eau Claire out there today with the weather. Shout out to my boy Scotty. But yeah, pretty damn cold. I guess getting everybody in the mood for Giants Packers this weekend, which we're gonna see there on Sunday. So, I guess that's Green Bay's way of welcoming everyone to the playoff party.
Yeah, not just your part. I was about to say, not just your part of the country, it's freaking 23 degrees here, too.
Yeah, I did not want it. I mean, me as a Buccaneers fan, I was kind of hoping Tampa would give me some, like, 80-degree weather where I can go to the beach today. But, I mean, it is January. I wasn't expecting it. But it would have been a nice surprise, though.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I got Miami fever, so.
Ooh. Oh. Oh, do you now?
I do.
Did you sit on the wrong public toilet?
Nope, it's Q season, brother. Season. For those of you that don't know, I was successfully in a 12-step process the last 3 months, 4 months or so. Okay, maybe it's been about 6 or 7 because I didn't really chase NFL cues like I normally do. But it's Q season. Basically, what that means is it's live final season. FanDuel last night released their live final qualifiers. $500 buy-in is already full, and the $3 buy-in is just under halfway full. If you want to go ahead and jump on in there, then go on ahead. Here's the funny thing is I love Q season. I will be taking my fair share of shots. And the 12-step program is hi, my name is Boomer's Daddy, and I am a Q whore.
Ooh.
My ROI would be so much greater if I just didn't chase Qs. But what can I say? When you tempt me with places like Miami and San Diego and stuff like that, then I have a big problem with that. So
see, now me, I am not a big Q guy. I'm more or less trying to build the bankroll up, and then I'll just take a trip down there at some point during the year. But, I've taken my shot at Qs. I mean, I feel like if I'm going to be taking a shot at Qs, I'd rather be on a hot streak. But you know the saying in DFS, any given night.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, is if you do your hot streak, if you wait, then you're going to miss out when you possibly could be hitting that first part of the hot streak. And if you're going to throw
glass full.
Yeah. If you're going to throw entries into the shot tonight with 147,000 entries in there, you might as well throw those same entries into the WFBBC $3 qualifier because you got a better shot at winning that one.
Yeah, when you put it like that.
It is something that is nice. I would rather take a trip to Miami and come home with money rather than take a trip to Miami and come home with less money than what I arrived there in. So, which
Interesting.
if I do qualify, I'm just gonna say this: if I do qualify, and I don't take in the top 15, let me see what the payouts are. Then I can promise you this: I'm still gonna come home with less money than what I showed up there in, because my wife goes on shopping sprees when we go down there.
Yep, gotta keep the wife happy. All right, so what do we got here? Seven games on today's slate,
Eight.
highlighted by eight. Oh yeah, I
Seven
can't
was
count.
yesterday.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, so we got the eight games tonight, highlighted by the OKC Houston game, which should be a lot of fun tonight. But let us begin with my Brooklyn Nets, not because we're showing favoritism to me, but because they play the first game tonight. Nets are at the Indiana Pacers. Pacers, 10.5-point favorites in this one, -725 on the money line. That is the biggest money line favorite of the night. And then we've also got a 217.5 total, which is tied for second highest tonight. A couple of interesting notes here. Jeremy Lin is out. He's missed the last three games with a hamstring injury. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is going to be out with some hip tendonitis. Nets are on the front end of a back-to-back. So I think they're just being a little cautious with RHJ there. And then we got Rodney Stuckey, doubtful. He's missed nine of his last 10 games with a hamstring injury, so don't expect to see him tonight. All right, what are we looking at here first?
Not a lot, honestly. It's one of those deceiving totals where it's 218, but I guess if you really, really, really want to go through everything, I'm looking to save some money here. Obviously, get some good values. Jeff Teague is always interesting. I think that this is a good bounce back spot for him. He kind of had a dud the last game out. Now, I believe he was coming off of an ankle injury. And I say a dud because the last two games that he's played, we're at 30 and 29, but at 7,800, you need a little bit more out of that if you're gonna, reach tournament value, which we're gonna start talking a lot more about. And when we say tournament value, we say at least 6 to 6.5x plus. And it's hard to project a lot of
Jordan
players for
McRae
that.
last night.
It's a lot of it's really hard to project a lot of those, but we do have some that could reach that or will reach that tonight. But yeah, I don't mind Jeff Teague here. I think he's going to be a little bit higher on than what I would want to be. I've got him projected right around that 38-point mark currently, which is not bad. It's number four for point guards, but it's not great either for his price. He's definitely got 45, 50-point upside in this matchup. And we've seen that Brooklyn is actually, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but anytime it seems like Brooklyn is 8-point spreads or higher, which is a lot, they usually keep it pretty close. I would say more times than not, for about three and a half quarters. So we get more minutes than what everybody thinks. This is one of the reasons why we preach here in the Army, don't predict blowouts. So that's probably where I'm going to start, is Jeff Teague. Other than that, Jeremy Lin's out, Greers Vasquez is out. Brooklyn's got point guards out forever. I'm
Let me jump in, save you here. All right, so what you're talking about with the double-digit underdog totals, there was a time in this season when Brooklyn was 6-2 when they were double-digit – or 6-2 against the spread when they were listed as double-digit dogs. And that – it was 6-2 all the way up until the time that they had to face Golden State and Cleveland on back-to-back nights. They just got – you know, smoked in both of those games. Well, they had the 16. Remember, if they had this the 16-point first half lead against Golden State, and then you know Golden State just went all Golden State on them. Yeah, they could certainly keep this close. But Indiana, they've played the second game of the season, they actually beat them outright. And then when they played in Indiana, they were a bit shorthanded in that one. So, you know, not a very good barometer of how that game was going to go. But if we're looking for some plays on the Nets here, I mean, Trevor Booker's finally got his stroke back, last game. Yeah, there was a little bit of – I guess premonition coming up to that game. I mean, he was 5,000 going into that game against Utah. He wrapped it up with 39 FanDuel points there. Now it's funny because he has that 39-point performance and his price just skyrockets $500 up already. So I'm not as interested as if I would have he were going to be at 5,000. Again, though, Miles Turner. You know, a guy like Brooke, this matchup with Lopez and Turner, you're probably going to find Booker under the hoop a lot more. I mean, Lopez likes to camp out there at the three-point line nowadays, all these places out on the perimeter and, you know, do his thing from there. So Booker's going to be the one grabbing the rebounds. As we've seen the last three out of the last four games, he's had 12, 14, 15 rebounds. I mean, that's really where his points come into play. If he's not rebounding, he's just not getting you any points. He's not a big scorer, although the last two games he's put up 16 and 17 points respectively. So we just have to look out for this. I think it's a pretty good matchup tonight against Thad Young. So yeah, the 5,500 is a decent point total, but you know, as you mentioned in the beginning with tournament value, I rarely see Booker exceeding, you know, big totals like that. The 39, you got to remember, was against his former team, the Utah Jazz. So there was a lot of
motivation
in that. Yes, that too. Incentive motivation. So, yeah, there's a lot of that in that matchup. So I don't necessarily like him for tournaments tonight. Cash games, what the hell, right? Have fun. And then also, you know, we're kind of seeing Paul George get back on the good foot here for the Pacers. Again, especially if Jeff Teague is still going to be hampered by that ankle injury, you're going to see George do a lot more of the lifting. I'm not sure of his price, but let me pull it up real quick. Yeah, not even at 8,000, 7,900 he is. So again, if this is the spot that you're going to take the chance on Paul George, I'd do it at this price.
Yeah. See, here's the problem with, you saying that Booker's price jumped $500. FanDuel's starting to do this little, progressive pricing bullcrap that DraftKings is doing, and people are going to say, oh, it has to do with everything with the merger. No, it doesn't. FanDuel's been trying to incorporate this into all their sports for the last 12 months or so, and they just now started getting into basketball. So when you play teams like Memphis, Utah, they're going to price guys down. And San Antonio is another one, which we'll get into here in a little bit because San Antonio is on the slate, and it makes for some interesting tournament plays. But the problem is that when you get out of that matchup, then it looks like whether you did good or bad, you know, with the way that we're used to FanDuel pricing everything, we're used to pricing it, them pricing things off of performance. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, you've got a guy that shot 39 and he's got this, you know, little situation going and his price jumps and people are going to hop off. That's when, as a tournament player, if I see now it's not like he's breaking the bank. He's a pretty good value, projected for right there around five and a half, X, you know, that's when, as a tournament guy, you want to hop on is when people are hopping off. Because people get these preconceived notions in their head that they don't want to pay, you know, more than what they're used to paying for a guy. So when a guy starts to work his salary up and you keep riding it up, as people hop off, you'll see, I mean, you see this, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit too when we get to this game, but you see this all the time with people. As the price raises for people, that's when, you know, people like to buy low. They don't like to buy high, which makes sense in cash games. It doesn't really make sense in tournaments. So that's my thought and my theory behind it.
Hey, I don't mind if this were another player besides Trevor Booker that we were talking about. That's fine. I rarely see the upside with him.
No, I get it. You know, I really do. I do get it. You know, Trevor Booker, he's about as far from consistent as you could possibly get. I mean, when we're talking, and here's a guy, and we're going to go to it because, you know me, I don't create a shit list at all. Like, I am the biggest proponent and the biggest advocate for, you know, capitalizing off of recency bias, because I think it is one of the biggest edges that you can end up getting. But what the hell am I supposed to do with Sean Kilpatrick? Like, seriously.
Let him be. Let him be.
What am I? But he's 4,400. He's got 30-point upside without Jeremy Lin. But the problem is that I hop on and it's like he knows it. It's like he knows that I'm playing him because he doesn't do shit. And then I hop off and he goes bonkers. What? You need to talk to your boy. I'm serious.
I've tried to many times because, look, hey, you're not the only one that is disappointed, my friend. So, yeah, I mean, look, the price is certainly right. The matchup is certainly right, too. If I'm not mistaken, he did have two pretty good games against the Pacers this season. I remember the second time they played, he had like 7 assists before he got his first, and he wasn't even playing point guard. But, yeah, I mean, look, the price is certainly right. Just know that you're walking into a huge, huge, huge disappointment. That's just what he's going to do. And, you know, again, his capabilities are very high. I mean, we've seen him go for some massive nights before, but, you know, 30, if we can get 30 at 4,400, I guess it could work. The thing that's discouraging to me is just the minutes. You know, the fact that, you know, he's starting, hasn't played over 30 in the last two games.
Did he really hasn't been able
to get into a groove. So, against Utah, I don't even remember.
That's nice. I'm almost like I feel more comfortable playing Swaggy P over Sean Kilpatrick right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt you, especially with them going against the Blazers.
100%. Well, I don't care who he's going against. He'd be going against freaking San Antonio. I feel more confident playing Swaggy P. I feel like I can get Nick Young right more times than I can get freaking Sean Kilpatrick right now. And it's unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, that's my thoughts on that one. So, but he's a great tournament play because his ownership's going to be lower because of the fact that he just put up two duds. I'll probably have a little bit of exposure to him tonight just because of the fact that he is in a good spot, but it's not like I'm going to like it, and it's not like I'm going to have a ton of it. So
he's in a good spot, but I don't have to like it.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, again, and you know, just to close out, I don't mind either center in this game. Brook Lopez, Miles Turner, again, for cash, I don't necessarily see big upside happening with either guy, but they're both in very good spots against each other, so that could certainly work. All right, Utah Jazz are at the Toronto Raptors tonight. Raptors opened up as 6.5-point favorites, have dropped to 4.5, which is kind of interesting. And then we've got a money line total of -205 here for the Raptors. Slate low, 199.5 total in this game. George Hill's going to be out. He's missed the last three games with a concussion. Dante Exum is questionable. He's missed the last seven games with a knee injury. And we've also got Patrick Patterson, who's questionable. He's missed the last two games with a knee. Probably not going to play, but we'll see what happens with the old man tonight. I guess the big game, the big matchup here, we've got Toronto. Now, they have been number one in offensive efficiency pretty much all season. They dropped a tick down to two. I mean, Golden State's just been on fire recently. And then we've got the second best defense here in terms of efficiency with the Utah Jazz. So I believe that's why we're seeing the lowest total of the night in this one. And that's funny, too, because that total actually opened up at 203. And, you know, I just let you know where it was at 199.5. So, what do you make of all this?
Shit. I mean, I guess you gotta like a great tournament option tonight, and I can't. Oh my god, I can't believe I'm gonna keep saying this. But you've gotta like DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. I mean, their prices are depressed. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's 83, Kyle Lowry's 81, and this is what we're talking about with this progressive pricing on FanDuel. They are pricing these guys down, and it's a place where we can take advantage of it, especially, I mean, I don't care who's playing the point. I want no exposure to the bigs from Toronto. All the exposure to the guards and a sprinkle or two of Rudy Gobert. And, I mean, I don't care if it's George Hill, Shelvin Mack, Dante Exum, or the ghost of Trey Burke or an Alec Burks, you know, back there for Utah. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are in fantastic spots tonight. I think they're going to go lower owned because of the stigma of playing Utah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not normally a DeMar DeRozan guy, but at 8,300, he screams off the page for tournament value and tournament options tonight. The question I have is how much Rudy Gobert is too much Rudy Gobert tonight? Because you can play, you can go to Brook Lopez for 7,500, and yeah, you've got 50-point upside because he can score. But like you said, he's not going to fill up the rebounds. That's going to go to, you know, Trevor Booker. Right. Or I can go to Rudy Gobert, who in his last, let's see, these are his block totals, his last five games: 1, 3, 3, 2, 2. And honestly, against Boston, he had another block in there that they did not give him credit for, which is something that we don't – we need to make sure that we keep pointing – or we start pointing out a little bit more is the NBA doesn't have a quote-unquote official stat keeper, like a non-biased one. The reason why we see such drastic home road splits is because – the home guys, the home players will get more of a benefit of the doubt, mind you, on a questionable 50-50 calls to boost stats towards the home team. That's why we see Anthony Davis just absolutely kill at home, and it's a massive home road split difference, is because on the road he doesn't get those beneficial calls. At home he does. I think Rudy Gobert is a very, very good play just because, yeah, you're not going to get a lot of points. I mean, his high point, his career high is, I think, 22. He's going to get the rebounds. He's going to just absolutely dominate Jonas Valanciunas on the glass. But with the way that DeMar DeRozan attacks the rim, unless DeRozan pulls his best Isaiah Thomas impersonation, I don't see Rudy Gobert getting out of this matchup with less than three block shots tonight.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, if you got to do the A or B situation with Brook Lopez or Gobert, It's tough. I mean, you know, Gobert gets the rebounds, gets all the other peripherals and whatnot. But we're, you know, this is going to be a slower paced matchup tonight between
these
two teams.
Which we
like
Rudy Gobert in, because that's where he kind of has a lot of advantage. But I hate the fact that we're relying on a lot of those peripheral statistics as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's not something that that we're looking to go into each day. But, yeah, I mean, look, we've seen plenty of bigs dominate against Toronto down low. And, you know, if we're looking – I mean, power forward's typically the area that you want to attack them at. But I'm not ready to go back to Derek Favors.
He did so have a kinda, pretty good game the other night.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But,
well, what I was about to say is, but I think, you know, that's against Boston. Now, let's say this though, they didn't let us know that he was off of minutes restriction.
Mm-hmm.
He played 29 minutes.
Yes, I see this.
And that was on the back end of a back-to-back. The previous games were 22, 25, 24, but on the front end, he played 18. Now, my question is, and hold on, I'm pulling it up right now. If we go to our trusty back-to-back tool on Boomer's Ballers, Utah is off tomorrow, so but they are in a 3-4.
Well, yes, because I would say they're at the tail end of it, because remember they had the back-to-back with Brooklyn and Boston.
But that's what I'm saying. I was trying to get a gauge on maybe how his minutes were going to look, because if you go Trevor Booker or Derek Favors, I think I like Derek Favors a little bit more, even though because his price is $4,500 and I can project him. Let's see here. We've got him projected in the DFS Army today for I'm trying to pull it up here. We've got him projected for 29 minutes. That's a little high, I would say. I'm going to pop that down to probably around the 25 mark, which I can't wait till we get the domination station where I can just do this on there and it just goes bloop, bloop. I would say 25 is a little bit more realistic. So if we do that and we adjust his minutes to 25, it adjusts his projection to right there around 20, which is he needs to get 27 to hit 6X, and that is doable considering he's done it. He did it in 29 minutes. Okay, maybe that's a little bit more of a stretch. I don't know. I'm going to have to read in this situation to see exactly what they did. Maybe I'll tweet at a beat writer or two and see if I can find some stuff out. But keep your eye out on the cheat sheet for Derek Favors. He could be a sneaky play tonight.
Indeed, indeed. All right, anything else before we move along?
No, we spent too much time on Utah and Toronto.
Yeah, we did, and even Brooklyn, but who cares? All right, Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, one question this one. If George Hill does play, because he's just –
I think he's been ruled out already.
Has he?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Never mind.
Whoop.
To answer everybody's question, no, we're not going to Raul Neto or Shelvin Mack. We don't play those guys.
Charlotte Hornets at the Detroit Pistons. Pistons 4.5-point favorites in this one, -185 on the money line. 206 is the total in this one. Just got to remember Charlotte is on the back end of a back-to-back in this game, so watch out for that. Cody Zeller is doubtful. He's missed the last two games. He's in the concussion protocol. Apparently he passed the first phase of it yesterday, but you know, we don't know how many other phases there are to it or what else he needs to pass, so I would consider him doubtful. And then Aaron Baines also listed as doubtful. He missed the last game with an ankle. Apparently he's gonna need a couple of games to relax, so he gone. All right, so being that this is the back end of a back-to-back, now look, the one thing that we've seen is Charlotte struggle to defend centers with Cody Zeller out of the lineup. So I guess this kind of puts Andre Drummond at the top of the hill, no?
Yeah, or with Cody Zeller in the lineup, it hasn't even really mattered, to be completely honest. They suck either way. They just suck more with him out. I have no interest in Charlotte. Detroit is very, very, very good at home. I have Kemba as one of the better value options on the board. I don't want to say he put up a stinker last night, but he kind of put up a stinker compared to what we thought he was going to do.
No disrespect, but here comes the disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, he still had a 39.3, but going against Westbrook in a fast-paced game where they're up in pace and everything like that, I mean, he eclipsed his season average. But, you know, when you pair up a guy with Westbrook, going against Westbrook, you thought you were going to get more towards that 50 range than the 40 range. The Kemba home road splits are real, which makes him an intriguing tournament option considering he's on the road. They're not as drastic this year as they have been in the past. He just didn't need to do anything last night. Like, you had Frank Kaminsky, who eclipsed his season high in points in the first quarter, which we kind of told you was going to happen, except I thought it was going to be Marvin Williams because he's the one that gets the start and then Frank comes in. But since freaking Roy Hibbert and Spencer Hawes couldn't keep their damn hands to themselves, they had to play both Frank and Marvin Williams in the lineup at the same time. MKG went bonkers. Nick Batum got to the free throw. They shot 42 free throws last night. Sorry, no, not 42, 46. Okay. They shot twice as many as the Thunder did. I mean, Nick Batum,
which just proves the theory everybody hates Russell Westbrook.
Oh no, but Russ is the one that shot most of the free throws. It's just nobody else did. God, this is a good spot for Nick Batum. It's a pretty good matchup, but. Let's see here. What is KCP's DPRM or DRPM? He's only at a 0.48. He's number 156 in the league overall. I really, really, really like Nick Batum in this spot, but I fear after last night he's going to be highly owned. This is a good ping pong spot, don't you feel, for Kemba and Reggie in tournaments?
You'd think so.
Reggie's last couple games, 32, 33, 32, 34, 30, 30. And they've been playing him and Ish Smith together at times. And ever since that game against Cleveland where he put up the stinker, his points have drastically gone up. And against Indiana, who's about as bad at point guards as Charlotte is, he had his season high, so... Maybe that inflates his ownership percentage a little bit, but I feel like it's a good ping pong spot.
Yeah, perhaps. I really like the power forward matchup here. Marvin Williams, John Luehr. I feel like John Luehr could be a nice play there at the power forward position. I know we were talking about Derek Favors, but you got Luehr right there, sort of in that same price range. It's not science, folks. Power forwards against Charlotte do work, and.
Enos Kanter.
Really liking Luehr in this matchup. Pretty overlooked.
Both of them. Tobias Harris and John Luehr.
Yeah.
I mean, we said it. With Tobias Harris is off the bench. It's a primo spot. And, I mean... You can't ignore it. You can't. There's just some guys that, you know, it was like who got the start last night that was a surprise that we said fade.
Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, I don't think that worked out quite as well. I think he still.
Nah, he did pretty well.
He did pretty well. So,
high 30s, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was too. But if we look at, you know, Tobias Harris, he put up another 14 shots. 14, 13, 14, 15, 14, 14 since going to the full-time bench role. You know, I mean, one of those games, you know, the worst game out of that was, you know, against Atlanta where he's with the starters and he didn't get the usage. But this is a guy that's averaging close to 32, 35 fantasy points coming off the bench. I think people are starting to catch on to that. I think he's a great cash game option. I would lean more towards Lure in tournaments and Tobias Harris in cash games. The question is with Cody Zeller out and the ability for Andre Drummond to get our boys Haas and Hibbert into foul trouble, can you play Marvin Williams and Frank Kaminsky in the same lineup?
I guess you could. I mean, I'm sure Frank will be popular tonight after what he did yesterday, and I mean, I'm not on the right side of Kaminsky ever, so I'm probably the wrong Kaminsky expert here.
Kaminsky is your Sean Kilpatrick?
He sure as hell is. He is Sparty's PG-13. He is whoever to whomever.
And see, he might be one of those we've talked a lot about, especially recently with, you know, value popping up all over the damn place. We talk a lot about guys that are great plays for us when we get them at low ownership and when they're not sneaky. He might be one of those guys to fade tonight because of the fact that he's not going to be sneaky anymore in this good matchup.
Yeah, I do a little more look into it. I do like the Kemba and Batum outlook a little more. Looks good. And then
I got
also,
all day to talk you into that one. Now, if you do that, you have to fade Russell Westbrook, and if you're playing one lineup, I don't recommend doing that. But if you're playing multiple lineups or taking shots at Qs and stuff like that, then I think it's a good play to get some correlation.
Show enough. Also,
Especially in a quick bit
here. Charlotte 3-4 on the back end of back to backs. You know, nothing special, but nothing that raises a red flag or anything. All right, moving along on the main event, Oklahoma City, or as I like to call them, OKC at Houston in this one. Rockets 9-point favorites, -425 on the money line, second highest of the night, and the highest total here at 224. Obviously the interest looks well for, you know, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, ding, ding, ding. But Patrick Beverley should be in for this game for the Rockets. So any worthiness of a fade? And remember, OKC on the back end of a back-to-back.
Yeah, and I believe it's 3-4 for them, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Don't sound thrilled about it.
I don't. Yeah, it is. It's 3-4 in a back-to-back. Then again, I mean, what was Matt Pinto calling Russell Westbrook last night? I forgot. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that broadcast. Yeah. No, it was something, and I never heard him call him that before. By the way,
did you see where he clocked the ref in the face with the
ball?
Yeah,
and he got teed up for it, which is dumb.
Yeah,
and
which is ridiculous.
I'm hoping that the NBA has already rescinded two of Westbrook's tees. So he's from 11 back down to 9. I hope they do it for this one as well because that was just uncalled for. I understand the ref's point. He's got to do it, you know. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, I would rather him do it and based on the side of caution rather than, screw it up and, end up getting in trouble for it. So, but yeah, I saw that, and I even though he got a T, and it's always scary when Russ gets a T, because then, you're sitting there on edge just because of the way he plays and the way he talks, kind of like Boogie.
Right.
You're just waiting for him to say the magic words and get teed up again. We've already seen it once this year. You're just sitting there waiting on edge. So it was kind of scary in that aspect.
Oh, they didn't
But
even wait for the magic word. He just got drilled and boom. But no, it's funny because the ref, like I've seen the replay like 5,000 times already, but he looked at Harden like as he was kind of, like in his pitcher's form on the release, and then he just turned away. But I mean, you got to think too, like, all right, well, where the hell was he throwing the ball? Typically players don't, if they're gonna throw the ball to the ref, they kind of like throw like a soft bounce pass or something like that. I mean, he did kind of sling it in there, but I don't know. The ref, he looked at him, he ain't gonna throw it. And then like 2 seconds later, oh damn, he threw
yeah,
it.
exactly.
So yeah, it was a shitty set of circumstances, but it did make for good internet fodder, and that's all we care about, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yes, indeed. Okay.
It's
All right,
kind of one of those things.
so
Anyways.
let's talk about this matchup here, because let me ask you something. Is in a GPP world, is there some validity to fading both Russ and Harden tonight based on the fact that they have tough individual matchups? And it's a, I know you're not going to predict a blowout here, but it's a weird set of circumstances with tonight's game. So, is there any sort of merit into it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Depend and it always goes depending on the situation, but this year against Houston, they've played twice, once or both in Oklahoma City. You've got an average of 52 and 49, or basically an average of 51 FanDuel points from Russ. Okay, at 12-4, that's not what you're looking for in tournaments, but you're also not just paying for that floor, but you're also paying for the capabilities of both of these guys to, pop off with 70. Now, I'm really, really curious, and I'm gonna have to do some digging on this, what the odds are of two players going for 60 plus FanDuel points in the same game, because I don't remember a lot of times it happening, if at all. But it's going to be interesting because both of these guys have the capabilities of doing that. Now, with that said, the last game in Oklahoma City on 12-9, okay, we're going to go back and look at that game log, because this is the game that we want to look at, because these are where most of the matchups are going to be very, very similar.
Oh, I got it pulled up right now, brother. And it ain't pretty for either guy.
Well, as far as the efficiency, I bet not. But, I mean, you're talking about James Harden. He still had 45, and Russ still had 52. Now, if that same aspect happens again, then yes, you can fade them. But with that said, what are the likelihood that that's going to happen?
Very true. It's sort of like the reverse, and I've talked about this where we've seen like Mike Conley, for instance. Even though I thought about that, I still had to play him last night. But all right, so he goes for 50 plus twice against the Clippers, right? It's very unlikely that the Clippers are going to let him do that again. Like obviously they got film, they got all sorts of other things.
Oh,
It
he was on
seemed like,
pace.
yeah, it seemed like they kind of. It's like, oh, well, they forgot about in the first half, and then the second half, they're like, oh yeah, this guy Conley's killed us all year. Well, let's kind of game plan against him here. So yeah, the fact that they're not duds, but I'm just saying with these two guys, the fact that they've kind of dudded here against each other head to head twice this season, I guess, the mean has to kind of rear its head here and be like, all right, we need some points in this one.
Well, you want to know the reason why, right? for the 31 minutes and 41
seconds. Both teams have pretty good defenders against each other.
Yeah, for the 31 minutes and 41 seconds that Patrick Beverley was on the floor, he was up Russell Westbrook's ass. And there's a long, long history between those two. And then for the 36 minutes and 45 seconds that James Harden was on the floor, you know, Andre Robertson, 36, was for every second that James Harden was on the floor, Andre Robertson was on his ass. And to just give you an idea, I'm going to pull up what those two guys' DRPMs are. And Andre Robertson is a 2.14. He's the best defender in this game. Okay. Patrick Beverley is a 1.23, but that's only because he's played 22 games compared to Robertson's 35.
And if I'm not mistaken, Beverly is number two amongst point guards overall.
Let's pull that up. That's easy to pull up
because Chris Paul is like number one above and beyond.
Chris Paul, yeah, leads, and then scrolling down. There's a bunch of centers. Yeah, Patrick Beverly is number two overall.
Yeah. I was going to say you could have clicked on the point guard tab and then boom.
But you've got – and see, this is where I don't like some of these numbers because you've got guys like Pau Gasol and Nikola Vucevic and Kelly Olynyk and you know, Miles Plumlee and Pascal Siakam that are, you know, ahead of him, quote-unquote. But, you know, you got to take all statistics with a grain of salt because numbers don't tell the whole story and they can be bent. But – needs to say these are two pretty good defenders. So
you wanted to see something interesting on no day. So on the back end of back to backs this season, Houston is 8-0. So I'm desperately trying to find out what their record is against teams on the back end of a back to back. It's the internet. I gotta find it somewhere, but definitely an interesting statistic right there.
Yeah,
and but, I mean, again, you know, they are favored by 9 against OKC. To me, I feel like that's a bit telling, just because this game is supposed to be a good game, and you know, we've seen two good battles here. So why the hell are we seeing 9? You know, like that's a bit telling to me of what's going to happen.
Because Houston
tonight.
Has lost 3 games at home all season. I think that has a lot to do with it.
But again, too, I mean, again, not only that, but look, Vegas, I feel like they respect the hell out of Houston because there's a lot of spots this season, you know, that they should have gone into. Like, they had no chance. Like, remember that game against Denver, you know, where they had the double overtime game in Golden State the night before, and then they had to go to Denver. The fact that they blew out the Nuggets in that one was amazing. But, yeah, you see it a lot with the line. A team like I always talk about the Heat getting disrespected. The Wizards are another team that Vegas just really does not have respect for. But you know, you see it in the lines with some of these Rockets games. Like, wow, they're favored by that many points.
There's a lot of love around the industry. There's a lot of love around the basketball world right now for the Houston Rockets just because of what they were doing and where they were last year, and you know.
Are a very good team. I mean, yeah, they're so efficient on the offensive end. The fact, like, they're funny too because they'll bring the ball down the court and like Ryan Anderson or Eric Gordon will just pop it from 30 out like it's no big deal. But they're a lot of fun to watch this year. And not only are they putting up a lot of points, but especially with Patrick Beverley back now, they've got just somebody that can stop the other team's main player. So it works out very well for them. I really like what Houston's got going on this year.
So there are 3 games where here's if you want a reason to fade James Harden. Okay.
Okay.
I'm about to give you one. There are 3 games where James Harden has shot under 30% from the field. Okay. And we're talking like we're not talking like, you know, 7 shots. We're talking 24, 16, and 23. Do you want to take a guess on his lowest? He shot 25% from the field twice. Take a guess who
Okay.
those two opponents are.
I'm sure they're gonna have the acronym OKC.
One of them, yes. The other one is Washington, which is really, really weird. But
Yeah.
two of the three games where he shot under 30% have both been the Oklahoma City game. He was 6 of 23 the last time out,
Wow.
and 2 from 11 from beyond the arc. If you don't think that Andre Robertson is a good defender, one, you don't know basketball. Two, you're not watching it. But like, yeah, I mean, I guess you can give him a little bit of a bump because he's at home. But yeah, I mean, he's James Harden. He's
The
gonna be highly owned because it's the highest owned. I mean, this whole game's gonna be highly owned. But
right.
it's I mean, there's some game theory in here, and it's not worth, or it's not out of the realm that it's a bad fade. So people are.
I think everything with what Vegas is saying is kind of making me lean towards Harden instead of Westbrook, but I don't. Yeah, you're right. Like. Could Harden could very well not hit 60 points, but I mean neither could Westbrook too. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah,
both
because I
guys.
mean,
I mean
well,
we've seen it, but if I had to choose one, I'd probably go Harden in this one.
yeah, I mean, Westbrook, he's, and Westbrook, he has not been shooting well. The last game he was 0 for 7 from the field. But he was where did he go? Where did his There it goes. He was 0 for 7 from the field. Or from the 3-point line, sorry, but he was 8 from 25 from the field. So Patrick Beverley was just as much of a pain in the ass. He got most of his points from the free throw line and from the assists, and from the rebounds. I mean, he had a triple double that game, the last game, but it was just one of those things I mean, there's some game theory on. You could fade both of these stars tonight, and if you do that, then you're basically saying, I respect Andre Robertson and Patrick Beverley, and I am counting on them to do their job. And their job is not to score. Their job is to
Yeah.
shut down these two elite, 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 probably two of the top five players in the world right now.
Yeah.
And that opens up everything else on both of these teams. And so we've talked a lot about them. Let's talk about some of these other guys. We're getting a bunch of questions about Montrezl Harrell.
Sure.
Now, I have some thoughts, but I want to hear yours first. Now, he's gets 28, 23, 41, 12, 21, 27, 28. Those are his last 7 games. What are your thoughts?
I like again, I like Houston's outlook for this game, but this particular matchup probably isn't the one that I would go to. I would think like a Ryan Anderson's probably the way to go to. Again, power forwards against OKC, something that I can go to time and time again. That's more likely where I'm to go, but I would give Harrell the slight thumbs up in this one just because of Houston's outlook tonight, but I don't love it just based on their individual matchup with Steven Adams.
Yeah, Steven Adams' defensive RPM is second on the team. He's been playing phenomenal lately. It's a 1.99. I mean, he is just. I heard somebody try to talk yesterday on some of the shows and stuff that he wasn't. I know who it was. It was a guy that I honestly have no respect for in the industry, but he's a guy over there at that big premier site that shall not be named. And he said that Steven Adams hasn't been playing good recently, and that's going to open up minutes for Enes Kanter. The two have no effect on each other because they can play side by side. But Don't tell me that Steven Adams has been playing bad, because he hasn't. I don't pick on Steven Adams' defense. And if for some reason that bites me in the ass every once in a while, then fine. That bites me in the ass. But as a process, I know that it is not good to pick on Steven Adams without guys like Boogie, Anthony Davis, you know, a guy like Montrezl Harrell is not to that point where I'm going to play him against one of the elite big men defenders in the NBA right now.
Yeah, another thing that you could give some sort of you know, in the thumbs up to Harrell, you know, again, a lot of these Rockets too, with OKC being on the back end of a back to back, Houston not being there. I mean, I think, you know, that's a huge part of why this game is a 9-point spread. But again, that big number is just very telling to me. So I'll probably give more people on Houston the benefit of the doubt than I usually would.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, I think it's a shitty situation for Oklahoma City. Don't get me wrong. I think they're going to win the game. Houston, not Oklahoma City. You know, you're going from Milwaukee to Charlotte, then back to Houston. Now, the good thing is that, you know, it was – the good thing was that, you know, they didn't play a lot against the Clippers because they blew them out, so they were kind of a little rested. But this little three-game road stint is not conducive as far as travel is concerned. It's not the easiest three-game home stint to travel to.
All right.
I think Houston wins. And
I know Houston wins. I know they win.
Or Marty McFly. or Nostradamus. Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
But you're talking about if we're fading, it's a lot easier to get your exposure to Harden through the rest of the Rockets. Eric Gordon, I guess it's a little bit easier now with Oladipo back, but Eric Gordon, who's actually has the most made threes in the NBA this year. You can go to Trevor Ariza, who's I know, right? Who's always kind of been a thorn in Oklahoma City's side. It didn't show at the last game, but he's just take my word for it. I think even Sam Decker's a little bit interesting in tournaments, but you know, Ryan Anderson, Enes Kanter. I mean, all of these guys are in play. Hell, even Patrick Beverley, because he doesn't have to rely on the scoring. He only had 3 points the last time against Oklahoma City, but he still scored you 28.9 fantasy points. Now he's priced up at 5,900, so that's not the best situation. But, you know, I mean, you can get your exposure to these guys from the people around them. Victor Oladipo was having a great, great game last night, and then he just went cold. So if you're fading, I think if the play for me, if I'm fading Russ and Harden, I'm making sure that I get guys like Gordon, Oladipo, Ariza, Adams, Kanter, Beverly, all in the lineup. So. Maybe
right,
not in
yeah,
the same lineup, but I'm getting exposure to them.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely like a lot of those plays, and again, definitely going to lean more there. And you gotta remember, how's Oladipo going to be on the back end of the back to back? He's finally, you know, back into this lineup, so that'll definitely be something to watch for. But again, I'm going to have more Houston exposure.
But it was
OKC.
A wrist; it wasn't a lower body injury, so I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Because
okay.
He came right out of – he came right back in the lineup
about
and started
the wind.
Playing.
It's all about the wind.
I
the
understand
lungs.
That, but he came right back in the lineup and started playing 30 minutes a game.
All right.
So I'm not worried about the minutes. Now, whether or not the efficiency is going to be there, that's another conversation that we could have, but not I just got that. I just got that picture you sent.
I had that from a
while ago. That's
ago.
Another conversation that we could have. But as far as the minutes are concerned, and going up against James Harden defense, I'm not worried about that.
All right. Four more games left to get to. We are at halftime of this one, but Atlanta Hawks are at the New Orleans Pelicans in this one. 3-point favorites are the Pelicans, -145 on the money line. Over-under is 208. So if you remember earlier this year, the Pelicans absolutely thumped the Hawks in Atlanta. And this is the game where Anthony Davis actually left. He had a massive first quarter, dove into the stance for ball, left. Pelicans still went ahead to thump the Hawks in this one. So they may be looking – and by the way, AD came back in that one. But, the Hawks may be looking for a bit of vindication in this one, okay? But they are on the back end of a back-to-back. They did smoke the Magic last night, so they did get a little bit of a rest down the stretch. Still – they got sweaty. They had to take a shower. That's considered a game. People bought tickets to it. So Vegas likes the Pelicans here. And the opening spread of this one was 2 points, has jumped up to 3. Typically, I would look for vindication in a game like this, but apparently Vegas doesn't see it that way. So if the Pelicans are favored against the Hawks, I gotta think AD's gonna have a big game, no?
Yeah, I mean, this is another ping pong battle that you could kind of have. The question is, how much Dwight Howard is going to be on Anthony Davis? Because we know that Davis plays the five right now. That's one of the reasons why they signed Domantas Sabonis, was so that when he gets back into game shape and healthy and stuff, he can start playing the four. And Davis can play the five, because we know that the combination of Asik and Ajink are just, collecting their millions of dollars and they're not producing.
Yeah, I was talking about Oladipo being worried. Mateus might need a scooter out there if he plays tonight.
He's not going to play.
Well, whenever he does, let's get this guy a scooter.
Didn't rule out the possibility of him making. So I guess the Rockets just basically said, we don't want you, because they failed him on physicals. I don't. That's a whole nother mess. Anyways, I like
it's
Anthony Davis.
It's Montague. I'm over it.
He can stretch the floor. There'll come a time, as long as he's healthy, that we'll be able to play him. And I like Anthony Davis. If you're going to fade Russ and Harden, he's one of the guys that you can go to. He's that next tier down, and it's a $900 savings from James Harden. And then it's a $2,000 gap from him to Damian Lillard. I like Anthony Davis tonight. I don't see a reason why he's in a bad matchup. I mean, Dwight Howard's not bad, but it is Anthony Davis. You're always worried about the injury tilt, which is is always something that you have to watch out for. But Anthony Davis at home is always in play for me. So
fair enough. The matchup with Howard kind of makes it a lot more difficult to have any faith in. But, I mean, look, if people are going to have some success on the Pelicans tonight, maybe it's Holiday that we're looking at. Jrue Holiday here. We know how bad Schroeder's been at defense this season, so he could certainly be the one. I liked Holiday a lot against the Knicks the other day. Ended up popping off. And, yeah, I think that this could be another great spot for him.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I think you've got to also look, and I've mentioned this guy a couple times on the podcast, but against Cleveland, he played 35 minutes, scored 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 27 points for Buddy Hield at 4,000 now.
Buddy Ball.
Look, the guy's got talent, and going up against the defensive prowess of Kyle Korver, Tim Hardaway. You know, it's definitely a thing. What are your feelings of Kent Bazemore here?
Hey. Well,
He's
he does look like Reggie from
$4,000.
Ballers.
Yeah,
You ever watch
besides
that
that.
show? Looks exactly like him. But, yeah, I guess I could be pushed into it. Again, Bazemore, not a guy that, me and him see eye to eye, but, yeah, I mean, it's a good matchup for him. So, 4,000 on FanDuel there. It could work. Could work.
Yeah, it's always one of those situations, you know, who's gonna, you know, if they're gonna play even amount of minutes, 27, 28 minutes, you know, which is what they played last night, then it kind of caps their upsides, between him and Thabo. But he's definitely more the offensive-minded one. So in tournaments, if I had to pick, I would pick Bazemore, and it has nothing to do with the price, even though they're only $100. Terrence Jones is interesting because he's still playing, you know, around 20 minutes, which kind of sucks because he was playing that close to like that 25 to 30 minute role there for a while, and that's when you wanted to play him. Tyreke Evans is still on that 20 minute limit, not going there. This is another interesting ping pong with Dennis Schroeder, though, and Jrue Holiday.
Yes, it definitely is.
I mean,
Yeah,
I know you
again,
said you liked
I really like
Jrue.
this. No, this is Ted. I really like this game offers some sneaky fantasy points, and you certainly gonna have a lot of people in the OKC, Houston, and probably Lakers, Portland later on. But yeah, this game should not fly under a lot of people's radars. So yeah,
Yeah,
a lot of good spots to look at here.
exactly. Don't forget about these other games, even though Oklahoma City, Houston's the one that you're going to hear about a bunch. So there's a couple other ones coming up that we'll talk about that are phenomenal spots for people.
Yes, indeed. All right, so three games left to get to now. Phoenix Suns at the Dallas Mavericks. Mavs opened up as 4-point favorites, but with news that it was Deron Williams bobblehead night, it jumped all the way up to 6. Is that the reason? I don't know. Could be.
Hold on.
Anywho, -245 on the money line are the
It
Mavericks,
is.
and we got ourselves a total of 204 in this game.
It is Deron Williams bobblehead night.
It
So,
is. Thank you, Kate's dad, our resident promotion man.
yes,
Or I should
absolutely.
say, our resident promotion awareness man.
And as I was
Vice
typing it in, I
president
typed in
of
bobblehead night.
Vice president of promotional awareness. I like that one.
Yes. I
That
just call him the
fancies it
narrative
up.
man. How about that?
All right.
That works
Okay.
too. Yes, it is a Deron Williams bobblehead night, so therefore, I believe it's commandment number 8 is in full effect. I mean, you can't ask for a better matchup for a bobblehead night though either, right?
Very true, very true.
I mean,
All the
it's
stars are aligning
Phoenix.
here.
Exactly. It's Phoenix. I mean, you got no JJ Barea. You've got, you know, I wish Dirk Nowitzki would just sit out, but you know, Andrew Bogut's a game time decision. I mean, yeah, it's just.
I'm shocked that the Mavs would go ahead with the Deron Williams bobblehead night. Like, I would think, like, you could go Harrison Barnes, you could go Dirk. I would probably have a Dwight Powell bobblehead night before I had a Deron Williams bobblehead
Now
night.
you're
But
just saying that
that,
because you're pissed off at Hayes.
yeah, a little bitter, a little bitter,
Yeah, you're just saying that, so
little bit of bitter. Yeah,
a little bit of bitter. So yeah, I
uh-huh.
mean, you gotta pay attention to it. It is real. There's no doubts about it. People are gonna ask about Dirk Nowitzki. You know, played 24, 23 minutes the last two games. My answer to you is gonna be no. He's 5,300 now. He is not even close to paying off that price for tournament value since he's been back. The two games that he did play, if I mean this is Tyson Chandler revenge game night, so you could theoretically go to Tyson Chandler over Steven Adams and save yourself $600. I mean, you could pair up Eric Bledsoe and Deron Williams. Eric Bledsoe just absolutely freaking crushed it a couple nights ago against the Clippers, and the next night had a little bit of a drop off against Miami. That's kind of to be expected.
Sure.
But that was partly
back
because
back-to-back.
Exactly back in the back to back. I think if Brandon Knight is out, then Devin Booker becomes a fantastic play. I also think that Wesley Matthews is a fantastic play, and you can go to Harrison Barnes and T.J. Warren. So I mean, there's a lot of plays in this game as well. And it's not going to get as much quote unquote love because when you look at, the team totals in this game, you've got both of these guys pretty much, let's see here. You've got, 105 for Dallas and 99 for, Phoenix. I mean, this is one of those great matchups where you can just kind of take advantage of the lower ownership because of where people are going to go. I don't mind this play at all. In fact, I absolutely love it.
Obviously, you got the second fastest paced team in Phoenix here going up against the second slowest pace. So major pace up game here for Dallas. That is something you gotta love in this one. And then, both teams in the bottom third of defensive efficiency. So you're right. Plenty of goodness here.
Yeah, it's a pretty good spot for these teams. So let me see here. And the money's pretty much split even. Now the line has kind of changed a little bit. It did open up at a 5, and it's now moved up to a 6. So I don't think Dirk at his age can really move that line that much. But
hell no.
You're talking about a lot of the public is pretty much playing the over or the under. So in tournaments, you can kind of game stack this game, and it's very, very sneaky.
Yeah, I dig it. Maybe we could channel back to those days of Steve Nash against Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, my gosh. Those were great
days,
weren't
they? Those were some battles,
no
man.
No kidding.
That's when I was a betting man. Okay, another story. All right, let's get to San Antonio Spurs at the Denver Nuggets. Spurs, 7.5-point favorites in this one. We've got minus 335 on the money line and a total of 213. Only injury news here. Kenneth Faridless is questionable. He has missed the last two games with a back injury. So that's that.
My back.
All right,
spinal. It's broken.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my
well,
Mike
you know.
Tyson.
Okay, all right. What the hell are we looking at here? You got actually Denver, they've kind of this is a major fall from – well, not even from grace because they've always sucked. But fifth highest pace in the league. But there's been a big factor in them becoming now the third worst team in defensive efficiency in the NBA.
Yeah. And you're shocked?
Not shocked, just when I see these statistics, it's more of an eye opener than actually watching them get hammered for 116 points by the Sacramento Kings.
Look, it's simple for me. Whenever I can't tell you how many people I have heard. The complaints that we have with Sean Kilpatrick and all those other ones, we've pretty much nailed Nikola Jokic every single time for the last, since Christmas, really.
We know
actually,
Jokic.
It's middle of December. We pegged him against Dallas, told you to fade him against, the Clippers and Atlanta and told you to hop back on against the Clippers the next game. And now people would be like, well, you told us to fade him against Sacramento. Well, yeah, we did. And he scored a 36.9 at 50% ownership at 70, what was it, $75 or $7,700 or whatever it was.
72, yep.
Okay, so 72. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be popular tonight because people don't like to play people against the Spurs. I think this is a great tournament spot. I absolutely love this tournament spot. And I think he's going to absolutely just eat Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge for lunch.
Yeah, I would say so. And by the way, just to piggyback off what you said there with the you know, him on back to backs, actually I was watching that last game and the announcers, they even said too, they're like, he needs to learn how to play on the back end of back to backs. He's terrible. And I was like, okay, all right, sounds good. I'll take it from them. I mean, they only watch the team with a front row seat every game. So yeah, against these guys, we could certainly do that. I'm a little worried about what Vegas thinks about this game. You know, they could certainly. Things could certainly change here, too. I was hearing some chatter on Twitter where, I mean, everybody did travel to Denver for this game, but, you know, with the altitude, you could see Pop maybe, you know, take a little caution in this one. So just watch out for that. But, yeah, if anybody does get popped, you're going to see Jokic in a much better spot. Hopefully it'd be Aldridge that gets popped because then we can just tee off on Pau Gasol, but – I would watch out with it. Spurs looked awesome last game when Kawhi got whatever the hell was in his system out of it. So yeah, you just gotta hope that that same performance doesn't carry over and just absolutely crush the Nuggets tonight. You definitely want to make sure that this game's close. So while I do like the matchup for Jokic, I gotta be a little bit cautious just to see, because if the Spurs get out to a big lead in this one, you could see the Nuggets try to play more catch-up.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to – I kind of went back and I started looking, and I haven't decided exactly what I want to do with it, but Danilo Gallinari has had some good games against the Spurs in his career. I don't think I want to go there at 50 or at 6,200.
Okay.
You know, but he's going to be less than 5% owned, along with Wilson Chandler and every other freaking person in this game, not named Nikola Jokic. I think because it's Jokic, he's going to carry a higher ownership. Oh, and Kawhi and LMA. Sorry. I think it's Jokic. He's going to carry a higher ownership, but we're not going to see it. I don't think we see it go over 15%. Emmanuel Mudiay is interesting just because of point guards against San Antonio. However, these two teams have not played this year. So this is the first, time we're really, really getting a good look at him. However, the last game that he played against the Spurs back in April of last year, he played 36 minutes, scored 35.7 FanDuel points, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Got you.
So I think there is some tournament options here. I mean, Mudiay is $4,800. I mean, he doesn't have to do a lot, and if he gets me, what did I say, 36? Yeah, if he gets me 35, 36 FanDuel points, then I'll be freaking ecstatic. You know, he's the epitome of what we call a tournament play. He's going to get you 15, he's going to get you 40. There's usually no in between. So
yeah, I just wanted to bring up real quick – I was looking more into, you know, how centers have done against the Spurs, and I'm looking at it and they've given up five games of at least 47 FanDuel points or more. However, only one of those have been after November 16th. You had DeMarcus Cousins, Hassan Whiteside, DeMarcus Cousins again, Marcin Gortat, and Hassan Whiteside again as the big point getters against them up to that. Now, I don't know if the Spurs just didn't play any good centers from that point forward. I mean, there's a couple decent names on this list of who's done the most, but yeah, I would say that obviously the best competition, you know, was earlier in the season. So, I mean, we were doing it the other day. Where we were comparing DeMarcus Cousins to Nikola Jokic. Definitely the poor man's version. Not quite the homeless man's version. Definitely the poor man's version. But, yeah, if Cousins can have some success against the Spurs, I could certainly see Jokic doing it.
Yep, exactly.
So, just a matter of game flow. That's it.
Yeah. If this game – and, you know, him staying out of foul trouble. I mean, those are always the two big things. Are the Nuggets going to be in it? And – let's put it this way. If he stays out of foul trouble, your odds go up that the Nuggets can actually stay competitive in the game. And if they're competitive in the game, Jokic usually has a big, big, big part in it. So that's that little flow chart that you want with Jokic. Now, I was listening to the Denver radio announcers the other day, and they said that some of the times, you know, Jokic told them, I guess some of the times that, and they call him the Joker up there, that the fouls that he commits sometimes are just him. He's just pissed off and he just runs down the court and gets mad and creates a foul. And I'm like, that's fantastic. But don't you know what you're freaking doing? You know, you can't keep your hands to yourself anyways. If you do that, then you're coming out of the game. You would play a lot more minutes if that didn't happen. Oh, yeah. So
he's rushing, correct?
I want to say yes.
Okay. But I'm going to say
100% sure.
Russians have pretty bad tempers, so that makes sense.
Yeah. And just think, guys. This is a guy that's doing what he's doing in 22 to 28 minutes a game. If he could ever start to play 32 to 35, whew, watch out.
He's Serbian. Yeah, they're even
worse. There we go. They're even worse.
I just say that. Like, I don't know any Serbians, so I definitely will not face any backlash for that one. But, yeah, and again, you might – and, you know, another thing, too, you might see Jokic, especially as you're going to see a lot of Aldridge and Gasol. I mean, that's the best matchup for the Nuggets. It's anyway, if those guys are going to be out there on the court. So it's possible. I mean, deep tourney play. So if Jokic gets into foul trouble, maybe Nurkic. But one of those guys are going to have to be on the court at all times if they're going to be rolling heavy with Aldridge and Gasol.
Yep.
It's just from a schematic standpoint, they have to.
Yep. There's I had a feeling that the other night was going to be a Jokic or a Nurkic night. We had some
Nurka night.
Yeah, some Nurka. We had some we had some late – kind of, I don't want to say information, but we had some late feelings that it was going to be a Nurka night. And I didn't play him, but I didn't tell people to play him either. And we just didn't pull the trigger. So
Sure.
I'm very, very skeptical about adding in players late to the cheat sheet, because when I do that, I think that players that people automatically say, oh my God, he must really like this guy to put him in the cheat sheet so late. And they automatically, they go into shock mode and they automatically put him in the cheat sheet or in their lineups when maybe they shouldn't. So.
Yep. Like Zach Randolph last night. Anywho, my bad, Orman. All right. Hey, look, I just see the news and it comes to me. All right. So, grand finale of the night, late night hammer, call it what you will, Los Angeles Lakers at the Portland Trail Blazers. A big spread swing here. Portland opened up as a 3.5-point favorite, has currently jumped up to 6 points, minus 240 on the money line, and our second highest total of the night at 217.5. Now, You're going to see a lot of ownership on this game, as you very well should. We have the two worst defenses in the NBA. It's great that we have the four worst defenses in the NBA tonight, all in play. Keep that in mind. But, you know, with Portland on the back end of a back-to-back, you know, they did play in Golden State last night. They exerted a ton of energy. I know CJ McCollum is going to be massively on the play tonight after what he did in Golden State last night. But back end of a back-to-back, he has not done that well this season. I believe he's only capped off at, 35. He's had two games, 34.8 and 35.3. However, if you look a little deeper into the stats, his last three back-to-backs have been at Memphis, at home against OKC, and at home against Dallas. So, again, not exactly the greatest matchups. And then even before that, one at Cleveland as well. So, and then you got one against the Clippers in there. The Blazers just can't catch a break on back end of back to backs until tonight when they play the league's worst defense. So McCollum, back to back 50-point games with Damian Lillard out of the lineup. It's a safe play, right?
Damian Lillard will play in this game.
He will play.
I am calling it right now. He will play.
Oh, so that hasn't been an official.
No, it's not. "Quote unquote official," but the latest blurb from RotoWire or RotoWorld, I'm sorry,
okay,
has nothing on him. Damn. sorry, I was listening.
Boy, they're even sneaky about it.
I was listening to the Warriors broadcast last night, and
ESPN.
No, the actual Warriors radio broadcast, because there's not as much of a. This sounds weird, but there's not as much of a blow your wad fest over the Warriors. On their really? Own radio broadcast as there is on the national broadcasts.
Well, I guess that makes sense. They're used to seeing them every day.
Exactly. They're spoiled. Just like people, you know, are getting spoiled with Russell Westbrook putting up 50s and 60s and his ownership percentage is declining. So, but they said that he wasn't playing tonight because he was playing tomorrow at home.
Interesting.
So, that was something I took away from that. Now, whether or not he's on a minutes restriction is something that we are efforting. I am efforting.
Okay.
And it's Damian Lillard will find his way into some of my lineups tonight. Because of the fact that he's gonna be extremely low owned. He's at home, where I love the road split, home road splits, and I don't think that they bring him back if he's not gonna be able to play a full complement of minutes. Even if he doesn't, I will have plenty of CJ McCollum as well to kind of cover myself on that. I love this game. I absolutely love it. You want to talk about a late night hammer? It is unbelievable. Now, the question that I have is Luke Walton. Are you going to do what you've been doing and playing your guys, your starters, 30 plus minutes? 32, 36, or are you going to go back to everybody's going to play 30? Because here's the thing. If it's going to be the ladder where your starters are going to play over 30 minutes, Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, both are fantastic options, and both are going to be extremely highly owned tonight.
Yeah.
So, I love it. And there will be some game stacks going on with this in tournaments. But yeah, I expect Damian Lillard to play. I think that's the reason why we've seen the line move in Portland's favor a couple points. I like Lou Williams here. I think he's going to have to play a little bit more than what he has because I think he's going to have to score, especially if Luol Deng is out. He's a game time decision. He's got a biceps. He was pumping too many weights in the gym, and his biceps are, kind of hurting a little bit. Mason
It's
Plumlee.
bicep tendonitis.
Well, yeah, and you get that from lifting weights too hard. I mean,
I
the
haven't
dude's
lifted a
60
weight
years old. You
since I
shouldn't.
was like 24. They're heavy, you know?
Well,
Like,
yeah,
ugh,
they're heavy.
gross.
You should try it sometime.
Gross.
It's awesome.
No, I'm good.
It's one of those. If Luol Deng's out, I have a lot more interest in Lou Williams. I'll probably have a couple shares of Lou just in case we don't get that news before lock. And hopefully get him at a little bit lower ownership. You have Mason Plumlee, who's been just, I don't know what clicked, but the picture of Bugs Bunny and the light bulb pops up over his head, or not Bugs Bunny, but Elmer Fudd, and it just goes ding. Well, that happened to Mason Plumlee in the offseason because he's been phenomenal this year.
Oh yes, oh yes.
So I love him tonight.
We all know. I mean, look, we talk about it all the time. Lakers giving up all these points in the paint. Them and OKC surprisingly tied for giving up the most points per game inside the paint.
That's
But
all Enos Kanter, by the way.
yeah, I'm very shocked by that. Every time I see it, still, I keep thinking it's gonna go down. But I don't put any credence to that. But with the Lakers, sure as hell I do. So yeah, I love Mason Plumlee tonight, even on the back end of a back-to-back. I really don't mind that at all. Probably where I'm going to be going at center tonight.
Yeah, I mean it's phenomenal. I mean his price is getting up there, but that means his owner, like we said at the beginning of the pod, I mean as prices go up, ownership usually goes down. As long as it, doesn't go up like $100 every week. If it goes up pretty steadily, in a couple days his ownership percentage is going to go down. And as long as he's exceeding that 6x tournament value, which I do believe, my math could be wrong, but I do believe 42 points. FanDuel points is exceeding $6,300 in tournament value. I think so.
Oh yeah, that's a big exceeding. Look, I mean, this price is pretty damn accurate because basically you're saying, all right, 30 points for him is typically where Plumlee is. We'll just call that the median there. And then, 300 a little more, I guess, for an advantageous matchup against the Lakers. I mean, I've been looking at his back-to-backs. They're not that great, but I'll put that to the side just because of this matchup and how good it is.
Yeah, you've got to outweigh, what's going to take more weight, the fact that they're on a back-to-back and or the fact that or the fact that they're facing the Lakers. So
Yes. Well,
it's
that's, and again, remember what I was saying too. I mean, the same thing goes for CJ McCollum. All these back-to-back matchups that the Blazers have had this season, they haven't been that good. So you gotta dive a little deeper into it. Like here, games against we got Memphis, the Thunder, the Mavericks. I mean, these are all
Now,
solid
I
defensive
think,
teams.
was that Thunder game in Portland?
Yes.
Okay, that was the game that they just ran him out of the gym. Like, seriously,
Yeah,
they
and
like,
he had 31 that game.
yeah, and I don't even think he played the fourth quarter. Like, they just,
29 minutes for him that night.
yeah, I don't think he played too long into the fourth quarter. They just ran him out of, they just ran Oklahoma City out of the gym. I mean, that was a you got to take it into account, but
Yeah,
considering the
sure.
situation, I mean that wasn't a bad performance on a back to back, considering he only played 30 minutes. It's still over a fantasy point per minute, so.
Dude. Look, I'd like, all in all here, I'd like to see Luke Walton play, Lou Williams some more and, try to get some of these other guys some minutes because there could be some great value within it. But, let's not forget about, Evan Turner, Maurice Harkless, Alan Crabb, guys like that. They could all pop off for some big value play tonight. And that's all I got for that.
Now, here's a question.
All right.
If it starts to come through that Lillard is going to play and he's not on a minutes restriction, okay, people don't like playing people coming off of injuries. But we've seen that McCollum's price has risen because of the fact that he's had to assume this role now. It makes for an interesting decision, knowing what we know, that when Lillard goes off the floor, McCollum's is still going to be running the one. There's nothing that's changed with that except for the fact that with Lillard not playing in the game, he runs it more often.
Right.
I still like CJ McCollum, whether or not we get word on Lillard. Part of me wants to not get word on Lillard so I can have low ownership on Lillard. The other part of me wants to get some word on it or to be a foggy situation so people just stay away from it completely.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Let me ask you something. You gonna have more interest? This might be a dumb question, but let's say McCollum, Batum, and Harden are all in your equation. I get leave one out.
Harden.
Of course, I knew that was gonna be it. That's why I had to add Batum. All right, so then what about McCollum or Batum?
Probably Batum, just because the pace is a little bit different or slower. It's close. And this is no word. This is no word on Dame, right? This is just me going by the speculation that Dame's going to play.
Right.
Just as I'm approaching it. Yeah, it's probably going to be – it would probably be for tournaments. It'd probably be I would have to leave out Batum.
All right.
But it's close. It's really close.
Could be an interesting situation. Maybe go with both. Who knows?
Yep.
Who knows? All right, that's going to do it for us today on today's pod. Follow us on Twitter there. You can get me at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. Tomorrow we will be back with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Seven.
I'm not even going to count it. 7 game slate. How you like? 8, actually. 8 game slate.
Oh, I got it.
We'll be back with that, and got a nice little slate of games there. So some good, interesting matchups, highlighted, of course, by the Cleveland Cavs at the Brooklyn Nets. My God, can the hurt just stop, please? All right, that'll do. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Peace out.